Hi, everybody, and welcome to Inside AWAI. This might actually be our first of 2023. So let me say for the final time this year, Happy New Year, everybody. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm crazy excited about this topic because as we dig into it, it's not a bunch of general things to be successful in 2023. It's not a whole bunch of skills. It might actually be a skill that you've never even heard of before. It came up last year. And as we were digging through it, we thought, wow, this actually could be huge. It was one of the things we presented last year to help companies thrive during all the uncertainty and the economy and all the things that were happening. Helping companies thrive, our copywriters came to the rescue and we had massive success stories. And this one of the seven things we talked about started elevating. So we started digging in and peeling back the layers. And as you're going to see today, we have hit on something that I am shocked that in 25 years of doing this, we haven't tapped into yet, which is crazy because it's part of every single business's marketing structure. It adds profit directly to the bottom line, yet it has nothing to do with writing sales letters. So when you think about customer journey, copywriting, dozens of projects that do all these things to move people forward, the sales letter writers are usually the ones who are like, woohoo, we bring in the sales. That's why they get paid so much. That's why they get royalties. Not anymore, because this opportunity is just as powerful, not in bringing in new sales, but in still driving profit. And that's why we're calling it the most profitable writer skill in 2023 for you, because you're going to get paid three different times and have royalties, which is unheard of in things that are not sales oriented, and profitable for the companies that you write for. Because as you're about to see, you will be able to directly impact their bottom line, the profit. Not the top level general revenue, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking profit, what people, the company, business owners take home. It's a huge opportunity. So with that,
it's a beast. It's a beast of an opportunity.
It's a beast of an opportunity.
As I have been digging into this, it's amazing how large it is and how much it is needed today. So we're going to go through this, and it's really an exciting opportunity for writers. So we'll get started.
And Sandy has been, just spoiler alert, we will have a certification on this, but today's session isn't necessarily about certification, even though she's been researching it and to put this on. We're bringing this information today so that you're aware, and that no matter what you decide, whether you decide to double down on this, go all in, Be aware that every company that you talk to has this need. So whether you do our certification, whether you decide to specialize in this, blah, 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 really lean in right now and listen and take these talking points. Sandy is one of the best teachers you can learn from, the best understanding of this opportunity. She had actually been doing it for a very long time in her career. We just never thought to teach it. And her way of teaching, you will be able to take her sound bites, take her content, and use this when you're talking to clients. I want you to really lean in today and learn this material so that you can use this when talking to companies out there in the world. All right, Sandy, I'll stop stealing your stage. You hit it.
It's okay. It's great. So this is what we're going to talk about, as Rebecca said, the most profitable skill for 2023. But actually, it's not just this year. It's forever. So you can use this skill for a lifetime, and companies absolutely need it. It offers you financial stability. I'll show you some quick ways to land a client, your first client. And then, as Rebecca said, there's ways to make money. And the bonus way I'd like to talk about it is a royalty. And then we'll get some resources for you to get started. So it's me. I don't know if I need to introduce. Rebecca's already talked about it.
But I'll introduce you. This is Sandy Franks. And if you don't know Sandy, you need to know Sandy. Not only is she a powerhouse in the copywriting industry, she has trained some of the best writers in the world today. She is one of AWI's copy chiefs. I would sit in the audience years ago and listen to her on the stage and say, one day I'm going to work with her or I'm going to work for her. I always wanted to learn from her. We used to not work together. I was just a student in the audience like you. And the minute she retired from Agora, we gave her 1 week to take a break and we reached out and we snatched her because she is one of the best teachers you will ever be able to learn from. Not only because she's done it herself, not only because she's trained others to do it, but she loves this stuff. As you're going to see, you get like, Sandy and I started talking about this, we started getting buzzy. Next thing you know, she's got research for days, like, check this out. Look what I found here. She's a real student of anything that she's curious. You're a natural born copywriter. You have everything that it takes to be successful because you're a natural curious person, but you happen to also be a very gifted writer and a very gifted teacher. I always say, if you have the chance to learn from Sandy, take it. I've never been in a meeting, a class, anything where I haven't taken something like, oh my gosh, away. Like this topic, when I heard her teach it last year, I was like, oh my gosh. We need a whole certification just on this one topic. So I'm excited to be here today. And that is Sandy's official introduction.
That was fabulous. Thank you. I couldn't have said that.
Nobody can say that about themselves. That'd be weird.
What we're going to talk about today is customer retention and being a specialist in this area. As we said in the beginning, this is a beast of an opportunity, and I am dead serious about it. And when you see the stuff that we've uncovered, you're going to understand why we're talking about it in that particular way. So let's talk about what is customer retention. So there's all kinds of ways you can talk about it, but it's really about a business keeping their customers. And the more customers they keep is actually a sign of success. In companies where they have a high retention, that shows they're doing a good job. It means customers are loyal to that particular brand. So companies have to focus on this. It's a way to build these long-term relationships with their customers. So it's all about keeping customers. And businesses have to focus on this if they want to survive and if they want to continue to grow and build profits. But here's the thing. Some companies don't realize they have to spend that much attention on it. So if you come in as a specialist in helping them retain customers, that's the gold mine. That's the hidden opportunity there. Because every business, whether they are small or large, need repeat customers and they need to keep those customers. If they're not focusing on keeping those customers, money is flying out the window. So this is all about how do you help a company keep their customers? And this is what's so cool about it. In doing this research, this is what we found is that Harvard Business Review, they did a study and they found that just a 5% uptick in keeping customers happy and retaining customers can add 25 to 95% increase in profits. One little uptick, like 5%. And keeping customers leads to huge amount of profits. That is big for companies. It's companies need that, right? Company is all about being in business to make a profit. If they are focusing on customer retention and they're just doing a couple things and they see that kind of uptick, that means their profits blow up like crazy. And in today's environment where we're worried about, the high inflation rates, high interest rates, the economy, this is the perfect time to come and help a company retain customers and see those profits increasing. The other thing to keep in mind, it's more expensive for a company to get a customer than it is to keep one. In fact, it's 6 times more expensive. So imagine this, you're talking to a company and you're telling them that you can help them increase their profits and they don't have to spend money on acquiring new customers. A company is going to be like, what? You can do that? Yes.
And if I can just pause on that for a minute or insert some commentary. What people don't realize is there's cash out and cash in a business, right? You make a sale, cash comes in. Some of it gets refunded, cash goes back out. In order to get more customers to come in to buy, more cash has to go out. So depending on where the business is and how they're doing, the idea of laying out more cash puts the company at risk to pay rent, to pay payroll. So the fact that you can come in and increase profit without more cash laying out of the company to bring in more revenue is like, not only does every company want it, because why wouldn't they? For any companies that are struggling or fearing struggle, that is the answer to their prayers. If only there was a way we could influence the bottom line, keep cash in the company, and potentially generate more cash without putting our company at risk to spend. That's why, that's what's keeping them up at night. All business owners in this economy are losing sleep because of that one thing. Can I manage cash? Not only do you help them manage cash, you help them generate and save cash, which is, I can sleep at night. So back to you, Sandy.
No, it really is that important. This is what focusing on helping a company increase profits. That's a huge, that's just huge. That's why we keep saying it's a beast of an opportunity, because you can help companies of all sizes make more money. And that's ultimately what they want to do. But you're also doing it in a way that keeps customers happy and loyal and become actually brand ambassadors. So it's a win-win all the way around. And it's all about the numbers. So there's this thing in business called churn rate, and it's basically the number of customers who leave a company in a given time frame. That just means companies are bringing customers in and they're leaving, and they can't keep them. So they don't want a high churn rate. They want their customers to be satisfied with the products and the service they're offering and the customer service that they provide, so that they don't have this significant churn rate. So it's, they want to keep it small, and they want to keep customers, keeping them buying and keep them loyal to the brand. And so Forrester Research did a study and found that companies can lose up to $1.6 trillion per year on churn rate alone. That's, remember, it's like a revolving door, and it's going faster and faster and faster. That's what companies are trying desperately to avoid. That's where customer retention comes in, is, hey, I'm going to show you how to slow that down and not have a tremendously big churn rate, and I'm going to add to your profits. There's another thing that businesses measure their health, and it's called lifetime value. So it's really trying to figure out from one customer, how many purchases will they make as they stay with this company? And they put a number to it, and it helps them, like, say, okay, these customers are worth this much to my business for a lifetime. And this is just an example here. So if a customer spends $50 on groceries every time they visit the grocery store, and let's just say they go 26 times a year for 7 years, that one customer is worth $9,100. Now multiply that by many customers. So this is what we're talking about. We want to help the companies, as we help them understand how they can retain customers, we're increasing their lifetime value. So their metrics of how they measure their business are constantly getting better and better, as long as they focus on ways to keep the customer happy and keep the customer loyal to that brand and purchasing more products. Retention drives revenues, period, period, period. This is just a chart that shows where you can see an increase in your revenues. Customer retention tops it all. You can see customer acquisition, 45%, and product innovations, pricing, promotional strategy. You can see the impact that they have on revenue. But customer retention is at the top because it's so critical to a business. So let's think about this. So when we dive deep into this and we see, okay, so what are customers thinking about companies as they purchase? And so a lot of these statistics are coming out, and it showed that 72% customers say they would switch from one brand to another just because they had a bad customer service experience. I think every one of us here can relate, right? They've had one bad experience with a company, and you're almost ready to say, I'll go somewhere else. It happens a lot. But if you can prevent that from happening, again, you're building a loyal customer and providing long-term growth and profitability to a company. So we're going to stop that from happening. We don't want customers having bad experiences with a business. And they're losing money because of that. The switching of brands costs about $136 billion a year. this just goes to show you how dramatic it is if you don't retain customers and you don't do it properly. Businesses need help, and they need help today, tomorrow, next year, for a very long time on how to retain customers. So imagine if you go to a client and you say, I can help increase your profits by 25 to 95%, and you don't have to spend any money on ads. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to be like, yes, all of a sudden you're an asset to this company. And because you're able to do this, and I'll show you this as we get through this, there's multiple ways you can get paid to help companies retain customers. It's all about being a customer retention specialist. So here's how you get paid. If you take this path and become a customer retention specialist, first thing you do is you go do an audit for a company and you find out the areas, what are they doing wrong? Why are they losing customers? Why aren't they retaining customers? So I've got this whole program I'm going to be doing I'm going to show you how to do a checklist. I'll show you how to do the audits. You could go in and you could charge $2,500 to $3,000 just to do an audit to say, hey, this is why you're losing customers. That's fabulous. They're going to want to know, okay, how am I losing customers? You're going to show them. Then it comes down to there are certain writing projects involved in that audit where you say, this is what I found. You don't have a good welcome letter, or you don't have a series of onboarding emails for customers. I can write those for you. So now you're getting paid not only to do the audit, but now you're getting paid to write those specific projects. And there's a ton of projects, writing opportunities as a customer retention specialist, which, you know, I'll walk through a couple of these in this today. But in the program, I go through a bunch of them. But there's so many writing opportunities. So that's the second way. The third way is you could do a checklist for that client so that they can themselves do it themselves. And you can just still get paid to create that checklist. But here's the tip on this thing, is if you create a checklist for a client and they're going to do their own customer retention, you follow up in a couple weeks and you say, hey, how's it going? Because you know what? They're probably going to be like, well, I'm checking the things off, but I still need more writing projects done. Okay, I'll write those projects for you. So see how this is? See the easy ends to this? First you're doing an audit, then you're writing projects. You can do a customized checklist for a client, and then you follow up, and you get writing projects. And the bonus way to get paid is you get a royalty. So let's say in some of these writing projects involve maybe bundling products or doing upsells or cross-sells. That's all customer loyalty. And if you can increase their income, you collect a royalty on it. You can go from 2 to 5%. And as Rebecca said earlier, usually we think about royalties as writing a sales letter, a long-form sales letter, and that's the only way we can make a royalty. No. You can make it by increasing profit. So you write an upsell, a letter for them, and it's not a long letter, and it increases, let's say it brings in $100,000 because you say to them, hey, here's an upsell. Why don't you create a VIP program and I'll write the email for you. And it brings $100,000 in and you're getting paid a royalty of 2 to 5%. That's $2,000 or $5,000 extra on top of the audit you did or the other writing project you did or if you did the checklist. So this is why this is so neat. It's just multiple ways that you can get paid. Go ahead.
Can I pause just 1 second, Sandy, on this? I want to just to catch up where everybody is right now. And Sandy, you're going to go into each of these, right, and kind of show what these look like in just a minute. But I want everyone to basically take a picture of this slide. You're going to get the slides later. For my newer writers who are in AWI, this is the future of really what, not just retention in general, but the slide in front of you, 1 through 3, is kind of where you're going with this. Stage 1 of a copywriter is writing. Like, we learn to write a project. We learn to write an email. We learn to write a blog. We learn to write a sales letter. We learn to write things. That's 2. We get paid to write projects. That's that trading of time for dollars. So if you're brand new and you're thinking like, wow, this is like a lot, you might just start with number two. That being said, if you do decide to jump into something like retention, you are going to jump the track and start with audits. But no matter where you go in this world, this is your future. You can get paid trading time for dollars. I hand you a blog, you hand me a check. I hand you a social media strategy, you hand me a check. I'm trading dollars for time, right? But beyond that, as you learn this, you can't help but learn the rest. You can't help. It's like you can't unring a bell, is what one of my favorite teachers always tells me. When you start to learn copywriting, you can't not see it. Good luck reading a billboard or a magazine or a sales letter or hearing a commercial and not saying to your partner, your friend, or anyone else in the room, your dog or cat, you know what they could have done that made that stronger? It would have been much more effective if they... You can't help it. The more you learn, the more you immerse yourself in this, the more educated you become, the audit just happens. The reality is that companies are not in the space that you're in. They are manufacturing widgets. They are doing taxes. They are drilling teeth. Those are the business owners. They're not in the psyche. They're not thinking about customer journey and, wow, if I could just retain my clients and not have to bring in new ones, that's not where they live. So what ends up happening is you start creating your own audits. Like, audits just make it easy. Yeah. Audits make it easy to go into a company and say, okay, I like that you're doing, I got this from one of our teachers, Andrew Davis. I like, this could work for anything, right? This could work for social media. I study social media. I'm like, you know what? I love saying that your social media is doing A, B, and C, but I really wish it was doing X, Y, and Z. I'd like to do an audit for you to show you how we could make that stronger. Same thing here. Sandy, I'm looking at your stuff. You have great sales tools. Wow, your copy is great. It looks like that's all working well for you. How's that retention? What do your refund rates look like? I feel like I could help you, and I'm going to go through an audit and show you. Audits make it easy for you because you can create a checklist where you're like, hey, client, of my 20-point checklist, you're missing 7 of the things.
Yes.
Here's the audit. I'll take $2,500. And what you give them are the keys to the castle. It's basically the roadmap of how to make their business better. Then there's the checklist. Okay, you don't want to do the projects, or maybe they don't have a massive budget. That's okay. You're going to pay me for the audit, and then I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you this document that basically says, from here on out, here's what I want you to do. I want it to work like this. I want your copy language to be like that. You're hanging that up. You're getting paid again for that. So even if as you're listening to this, you're like, what did I get into? I want you to like get rid of all of that and see this more as, what did I get into? There is such a big opportunity. It's not, I'm going to write a blog and get paid $200. It's, I'm going to start learning this stuff. And every day that I spend in a webinar like this, in one of ADBI's programs, reading and learning and being curious, my value is increasing. And even if you look at the numbers on the screen, you're like, you will get there. It just is. You can't help it, because the more you put in, the more your value grows, the more you're able to contribute to clients. So don't feel like you have to know all this right now. And our certifications do a great job of giving you the business in a box and the knowledge. Are you going to have confidence out of the gate? Not a whole bunch of confidence, but you know what gives you confidence? Getting out there and doing it. And you know what really gives you confidence? Getting these paychecks. So just settle in here and feel, okay, I'm just learning. All I got to do is learn today. Whatever you retain is going to be great, and your value will be higher in the next 30 minutes simply by listening to this next section of the presentation. Good?
It's perfect. All right. Perfect. Okay. Here's the audit. This is what it looks like. You're basically going in, and I have a whole checklist where you go through and you find out, it's a simple thing. Are you not communicating enough with your customers? Hey, do you have an onboarding series of emails for customers? Are you offering any kind of incentives like free things or discounts? Hey, do you have any demos of how the product works? Do you have any FAQs available for customers? This is all it is you're finding what they are doing wrong. And as Rebecca and I have been saying, like, companies, they're so focused on other parts of the business, they don't always spend the time thinking about, how do I retain customers? They know it's a problem. And when you do an audit, you can just simply ask them, hey, what's your churn rate? And they might be like, my God, it's 25% and I can't stop. And you say, all right, well, you might be doing some things wrong, like this list here. Or it could be, hey, you know what? As you're doing the audit, and you're finding, you don't even have a way for customers to provide feedback, or you're not even acting on that feedback. You're collecting it, but what are you doing with it? Nothing. That's not good for customer retention. Hey, you didn't even send a thank you or a welcome letter. And I'll tell you, this happens a lot. I've signed up to different like e-letters and nothing. I don't even get a confirmation sometimes. So I'll be like, whoa, I should know. And I'll be looking in my spam folder. It's not there. They don't even think about it. And then it might be a week later that I actually get the newsletter, the e-letter. But that's a week that went by where I'm sitting here thinking, I should have had more communication from that company. It happens a lot. Maybe there's no trigger emails to re-engage customers. Maybe they don't have a loyalty program in place. So there are just so many things that you can find, and all of these things will improve their customer retention. But you could just do one thing and make a big difference. It's really really is a matter of finding the things they're not doing correctly to keep customers. That's what the audit is all about. You're just going through and you have a whole checklist of all the ways that customers leave companies, and then you share it with the client. Well, here's what I found. There's five things you're not doing. So what if it is that they don't have a thank you or welcome letter? Oh, I could write that for you. See how it works? It's just so built in that you do the audit and then there's opportunities to write those projects and fix it, creating loyalty programs. I mean, these are all things that can really make a difference in customer retention. So as I said, you write the projects. They don't have an FAQ, write it for them and get paid to do it. They don't have pre-scripted phone calls, write a scripted phone call for them. They don't have product demos, write it for them. They don't have a new announcement emails of a new service they're offering or a new event that's coming up, write it for them and get paid. Hey, they didn't even think about a membership program, write it for them. No welcome letter, write it for them. See how this is? It's like finding the things they're not doing properly and then doing it for them. And here's an example, you know, a welcome letter. A simple thing. It's like usually about a page. It's a simple writing project. It's basically either welcoming or thanking the customer for making the purchase, delivering what they requested, what they were promised. It's also the start of the ongoing relationship. I like to think about it is that first impression makes a big difference. And it certainly does when it comes to customer retention. So that welcome letter has to really make a big difference. It sets the tone and it gets that customer in the mindset to take the next action. So it's the structure of a welcome letter is easy project for you to write. Here's one that we use here. With AWAI, if you get signed up for our report, you get a thing that welcomes you and thanks you for taking the time to sign up. A lot of companies, I said, don't do this. That goes a long way to retaining customers. That first impression matters. So if you find they don't have a good welcome letter or they don't even have a welcome letter when you do the audit, now you tell them, I can write it for you. So you got paid for the audit. Now you're getting paid to write a welcome letter. And that's just one of the writing projects. I just showed you a bunch of things that you can do, all the other writing projects that are involved when you do the audit.
I'd love for you guys to sorry to give you homework midway through the presentation, but I love homework. The next thing that you sign up for, the next e-newsletter, and you should be consuming content in your niche. If you want to write about infant safety products, sign up for infant safety product newsletters, join mommy blogs. If you're doing financial, sign up for newsletters. Even if you buy something and then return it, you will be bombarded with, you'll get all of their welcome sequencing, if they even have anything. You'll get all of their reactivation stuff trying to get you back. You'll be able to see all this. I literally just signed up to be sold this week. I literally signed up to be sold just so I could just see someone else in the industry. What are they doing? How are they doing it? I want to learn all of that stuff. But in that opportunity, you're going to spot things. Like I said in my other example, you're going to start to say, hey, they didn't send me a welcome letter. Or they sent me a welcome letter. They didn't link me anywhere. They just kind of left me hanging. I don't even know how to get into it. I have a question about ABC. Where do I find the answer for that?
Yes.
I can't find the answer for that. Yes. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. And challenge yourself. See how many ideas, things, because you've all bought things before, right? You've read things before. You've signed up for newsletters. You have companies that you know did a great job because you stayed on. You're still opening the emails. You're still buying things. what are those companies doing well? And then look at other companies. Oh, mm-hmm. this company, they're not doing all the things that all of a sudden, it's just that mindset of like looking for, wouldn't it have been nice, right? Yes. I walk into a party. Wouldn't it have been nice if the host had greeted me? I don't know anybody here. Wouldn't it have been nice if they had introduced me to a few people? Wouldn't I have felt more comfortable? Maybe got me a drink so that I feel a little bit into the party. Putting yourself in your shoes as the consumer is massive intel, because mm-hmm. everybody else, all of the other customers, are walking in the shoes that you're walking in. You are basically making it a better opportunity, a better situation, a better experience for customers who have just purchased something. So be even thinking about that this weekend. Like, think about, hey, I'm here. What would have made it better?
Absolutely. And think about the brand and how things fit together. I ordered this thing. It's called Spoonful of Comfort, and it's soups. They send you soups, and they have chicken noodle soup, all kinds of different soups. And you send it to people like when they're sick or whatever. It's a really cool thing. And it comes with, the soup is in a frozen thing, and they give you the ingredients to make it. And you even get a big soup ladle, and some cookies. And it comes with this message of, here's a spoonful of comfort. But then once I bought that for someone, I got their emails, and the emails fit perfectly with that whole feeling of a spoonful of comfort. And so that, to me now, when I'm looking at other emails, I'm thinking maybe they're sending emails, but it really isn't reflecting the brand messaging. That is customer retention. There's another way to say to a client, here's how we can improve, because you have messaging, but it's really not fitting your brand image. So that's just one example. So Rebecca's absolutely right. Keep collecting all of these emails and everything you can from people in your niche so that you can get a jump start in how you can help them retain customers. Now, this is the other way you can get paid, is creating this client checklist, is what I like to call it. So you can go to a client and say, I can create a checklist for you, specifically for your business, that's going to give you all the areas for customer retention, all the things to focus on, so you can work on it yourself, and you'll get paid to create the checklist. And as I said earlier, the secret to it, for me, the way this works is you hand them this checklist. They go off and do it themselves, but then you follow up with them, because eventually they're going to still need you. Maybe they're like, well, we've been working on it, but we can't figure it out. Can you come back and help us out? We found more as we did our checklist that you gave us. We uncovered all these other things that we need to have fixed. Can you fix it for us? Can you write these projects? So for me, this is like, wow, it's also, what I also like about it is, as a customer retention specialist, when you hand a business a checklist for them to do it themselves, what better reflection of a customer retention specialist, someone who cares about a business and saying, here, I want to help you. I'm giving you this checklist so that you can help yourself retain customers. To me, that's a perfect fit. I'm a customer retention specialist, and I'm giving this to a company to help them retain customers. It shows that I care. But then I also know in the back of my mind, if I follow up with that company, I bet you there's things that they still need my help with. So for me, this is another in for retention specialists, another way to make money from this. And as we said earlier, you can get a royalty as a customer retention, because if you increase their profits, you get paid a percentage, and you can negotiate this with the client. It can be 2-5%. It could be more. It's whatever you negotiate, but this just gives you a guideline of what to start the negotiation with. But really, they can measure some of it. They'll be able to measure if you made a difference. So maybe you say, you go through, you do the audit, and you say, you know what? You could actually bundle some of your products together and create a bundle package and offer that to customers, because they're buying all these things. But if you put it together and give them a discount, they'll purchase even more. So all of a sudden, now they have a new sales avenue. They're retaining customers because they're offering something that's needed, a bundle program. Because you were able to do that and it made a difference, you collect the royalty on it. So there's so many avenues to get royalties and customer retention. It's just, you'll see, it's just going to be like, wow, I can make royalties on top of doing an audit, on top of writing the projects, on top of creating a checklist and giving it to a company to do it themselves. This is why we said in the beginning of this, this is a beast of an opportunity. It's just, it's so needed. And you know what? There are not a lot of people that are offering this kind of training program. Honestly, there isn't. So it's almost like this is like the cutting edge, groundbreaking opportunity to go in and help clients retain customers.
Even like for those of you asking, you know, how do you track royalties? How do you track most companies who are doing marketing, who really are, especially in direct response? So they are using pay-per-click, they're sending emails, they're measuring their metrics. And if they aren't, that's an opportunity for you.
Yes.
Because if they're not, they have no idea what's working and what's not. To not know what's working is basically just like throwing money. Here you go.
Absolutely.
Here you go. Here you go. And like hope that something comes back from it. So that alone can be an opportunity. So we have a marketing 101 on our website that walks you through all the metrics. Actually, Sandy and I went through all the metrics. It's good to be familiar with them so that you can have conversations. One way to get around it is, well, how do you measure success, right? And really every writer, you should be asking this question anyways. How are we going to measure success in this? Are you looking, let's say I'm writing emails. And as you get into various programs, you're going to find that you're going to learn the metrics that are relevant for each one. But I'm going to use the email example. How are we measuring success? Are we trying to get people to open the email? Are we trying to get people to click on the link? Are we asking them to take a different action? Are we asking them to respond? Are we measuring it based on sales? I need to know what the intention is, because how will we know if we did a good job? Just even as a human, right? When do we know when it's time to pat ourselves on the back and be like, good job, right? We need to know that. So even just getting awareness of that in any path that you write, how are we going to measure success? Now, when it comes to retention, profit is everything. Money coming, leaving the company. People are unhappy with the product. They were unhappy with the process. They could not get their questions answered. Whatever the thing is that you find in your audit, money leaves the company in the form of refunds. You could simply try to influence that and say, hey, what is your refund rate? The flip side of that is, what is your retention rate? How many people do you keep on whenever you bring somebody in the business? If I could move the chains on that, if I could increase that by 20% or 30, whatever it is, would that be valuable to you? Yes, it is. Great. Let's go ahead and what we call baseline. Let's write down the number of what you expect to get this year. And anything above that, I'm going to take a piece of. Does that sound fair? Everything above that is free money that you aren't counting on anyways, client A.
Exactly.
So if your profit this year is going to be $1 million, anything that I add over the million, I want 5% of. Why wouldn't they? They're taking 95% of just free money that they weren't even planning on getting.
Exactly.
Giving you 5% in return. There's nothing. It's such a beautiful win-win. And I love this because it puts what I call skin in the game for you. Like, you also have a vested interest in this doing amazing, right? It's a win-win for both of you because you're both walking away with more money in the end because of the results. Now, again, for my newbies, this might feel like a lot, but this is where you're going. Mike asked a great question, like, another audit? How many audits can one company have? Everything, every company can use everything, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to do everything. Every company should be on social media. Every company should have email. Every company should have newsletters. They should have a selling system. They should have retention strategy. If they don't have anything, that's an automatic in, and the best way in just to look professional out of the gate is an audit, right? If I come in and say, can I do your social media? That might work. But if I come in and say, I have an audit of your social media and I found 7 points out of 20 that I think we can improve, who just naturally feels more weighted? So our certifications, what we've learned over the years is that audits help our writers get money faster. It builds their confidence. It elevates their level of professionalism. It gets them paid faster. So we have built audits into all of our certifications now, just because why wouldn't you, right? So we used to have something called site audits, which is a content audit of a website. And that's kind of what tipped us off. Like, wait a minute, if it's working for the site audits, why couldn't we do an audit for email, right? Why couldn't we do an audit for social media? We should totally do one for, it's basically a checklist that you follow through to identify opportunities for your clients and opportunities for you. And that knowledge is worth a lot of money to you and to them, right? It sets you up for the additional paychecks and it gives the client intel into this is where I'm falling down. This is where the opportunity is to elevate and make more from the efforts that I'm already putting out there already. So there's lots of stuff in here and there are layers in this conversation, but just continue to absorb. Remember, every minute that you spend learning, it's weird. You're going to be having a conversation with someone tonight and something in this presentation will come out of you. And you're like, where did that come? Why do I know that? Where you're going to watch a commercial and say, oh, you know, honey, you know what they missed there. They should have done. It's just your value goes up every minute. So let's keep increasing our value. Sandy, back to you.
Well, what I would add to that is too, saying, you know, how many audits can a company have? If you think about it from the other side, the flip side of the companies out there, they have no idea how many audits are out there. They have no clue. They're not thinking in that terms. So it is wide open. You can have as many audits as possible. These are all entry points into helping companies. They're not thinking of it that way. You are thinking of it that way. That's what makes it so specialized and so neat, is because of the way you're positioning it. They don't think of it that way at all. And it's eye-opening for a company. If you say, hey, I can audit your customer retention program, they're going to be like, whoa, I didn't even know that was possible. So for me, I just feel like it's a win-win all the way around. And it's like audit all the way you want. So let's talk about the power of, as a specialist. You're basically, it's something every company needs. It costs money. Just think about it that way. It costs money to get a customer, but keeping them is really where the profit lies. So just to read some of this, the profit of selling more goods and service to existing customers hovers around 60-70%. So it's far more likely they'll buy again. That's what we're talking about. That's brand loyalty. That's when you keep customers happy and you're offering them problems, solutions to problems that they have, and you're doing it over and over again. And also the probability of converting, converting a new customer is 5 to 20%. So converting a new customer is 5 to 20%, but getting them to purchase again, 60-70%. See the difference there? You're in that range there where you're helping them repeat, make more purchases. And it's all good customer service. You're doing customers a favor when you're offering them products that solve their problems. So how do you find clients? Everybody needs to have, any business that's out there needs repeat customers. Remember, it's more expensive to acquire a new customer than it is to keep an existing customer and keep that customer happy. So any business, like all local businesses, is a great place to start because they're all going to need this. I mean, this is just off the top of your head, the things that you can think about. But everybody can use this, because if you go to your hairdresser, she can't survive or he can't survive unless you're coming back. And what are they really good at when you go to a hair salon? A really good one will ask you before you leave, can we make our next appointment for next month? That's a great tip, thing to do. But how many, that's how they're getting repeat business. So if every business, every local business needs help in retaining customers, again, because they are small businesses, they're not thinking about it in the big terms that we're talking about. That's where you come in and you help them. So a good place is to start locally, just within your neighborhood. You'll find businesses, you know, accountant, electrical services, restaurants, little boutiques, dog groomers. They all need repeat customers and they need to keep those customers happy. Here, before I talk about LinkedIn, here's just a little tip. So one of my favorite liqueurs to drink is limoncello. So fortunately, about 5 to 6 miles down the road is a little winery and they make limoncello. So here, let me just show you an example. So we go in, I visit and talk with the owners there and I'll buy the limoncello from them. But in a conversation, I'll be telling you, like, you know, Do you have emails that you send out to let people know that you have limoncello, new batches of limoncello available? No. Oh, well, geez, guess what? I can write those emails. But then my customer retention brain starts thinking, well, wait a minute. If I'm constantly buying limoncello, shouldn't you have a loyalty program? Customer retention. So see, that works easy like that. It's so easy to work with local businesses and starting helping them with retaining customers. Another great place to find clients for this is on LinkedIn. It is huge. That's like 57 million organizations, 874 members in more than 200 countries. And the way you use LinkedIn is you just use the search feature to find businesses that are in your niche. So if you want to target the publishers, you search for publishers and it'll bring up. You can find people in the publishing industry. You can find companies in the publishing industry. It's all there. It's like a mini Google in LinkedIn where you can find clients. The other thing you can do, and this is what I play around a lot with LinkedIn, is if you create posts on LinkedIn, what happens is you draw customers to you. So if you're active on LinkedIn and you're creating posts on retention and clients are seeing it, then they're contacting you. And one of the best kind of posts to create is a carousel post. Those have 2 to 3 times more reach than just a text post that you put on LinkedIn. I did one a couple of weeks ago on storytelling, and it went viral, and I got 57,000 views on it. And I got all kinds of comments and engagement and connections. And that's what it's all about. So I have actually created a carousel post on retention, and I'll give it to you if you join the program. You can start using it to get clients coming to you. The other thing you want to do when you're on LinkedIn is you want to make comments on other people's posts, because all of this, what's happening is you're getting your name out there in front of all these organizations, especially that are within your niche. So all of a sudden they're going to start seeing, hey, this person is very active on LinkedIn. I'm going to find out what they're doing, and then they'll connect with you. And then that's how you can start landing clients through LinkedIn. So how do we do that? Open the door with those local clients. You just start with what you know already. So, you know, when you're working with reaching out to local clients, you can just ask questions like, hey, what are you doing to keep customers? It might be like, actually, now that you asked me that question, I'm not quite sure what we're actually doing. I don't know if I have a process in place for keeping customers. Oh, geez, guess what? If I could help you with that, if I can increase your profits without spending money on ads, wouldn't that be worthwhile? Absolutely. So it's really just a matter of asking simple questions. But I think that's a door opener, just saying, what are you doing to keep customers? Businesses are not even thinking about it like that. They're going to be startled like, I don't have a process in place. Boom, opportunity, customer retention specialist. And then networking, you know, what problems do you have retaining customers? They might be like, oh my gosh, that's been my Achilles heel. I can't retain customers. They just seem to be leaving. Well, I can help you. And Jay Abraham has this great elevator pitch where you say, you know, how people have this problem keeping retaining customers. Well, I can help them. I'm a customer retention specialist who helps businesses increase their profits by keeping more customers. So it's a great way to have a conversation with a client just by asking questions, what are you doing? And then giving them your elevator pitch. And also, you want to start collecting business cards instead of you giving them out. Collect them from these people that you're talking to, because that's how you're going to contact them to set up that audit. So some resources to help you get started on this. AWI also has a lot of, Rebecca mentioned one earlier, how we had this whole thing on metrics before, and we've broken down all kinds of, you know, how you do certain things. But we've got a bunch of stuff here to help you get going on landing clients. And then we're going to have our certification that Rebecca mentioned earlier. I'm going to show you the go through deeply into the audits. We're going to have assignments, so you'll be able to get feedback when I tell you how to do the audit, and then those writing projects. And this is actually starting next week. So it's going to be a beast of an opportunity, but the whole program is really going to open your whole world and your eyes to this whole thing of customer retention. I mean, I'm like going deep and dive into this stuff. When you get into this program, you're going to come in not knowing anything about customer retention. And in 4 weeks, you're going to walk out being like, man, I know everything about customer retention. And you'll be able to go out there and land clients because we're going to even have sessions on how do you actually do that. So we'll do a deep dive on that. So I'm covering everything from A to Z on customer retention. So any questions?
Yes, we do. You guys write your questions in. In the meantime, can you guys grab the link? We're missing the /. So Jake, if you can update the slides when they go out, and Jade, if you'll post the link in the chat, and Melissa in Facebook, I would appreciate it. That's awesome. Lots of great insights and aha moments. We talked a lot about audits, Sandy, just kind of in general, and Mike was saying that reduces or eliminates anxiety when approaching clients. And I think that's one of the beauties of what we've built with the certifications, and really with this one specifically, what you've built here is that ability to go into a client and feel like you have something to go over with them really out of the gate. So from an audit standpoint, how does that show up for you? Like, is that your intention with the audits to give that confidence, to give that positive feeling, professionalism with when you're building these certifications?
Absolutely. I think that it really does. It creates that immediate sense of you're this professional and you're specialized in this one area. And that, I think audits just give automatically, when you feel like you're being able to do an audit for a business, it automatically raises your value to them because they, as we said before, they don't think of it like we do. So when you come in and say, I can do it, and this is a good audit, we're not talking about like a tax audit or anything. We're talking about a good, positive audit. That's what makes it so neat. You can say, I can do an audit of your customer retention and find out areas where we can improve, and I'll help you make those improvements. So to me, audits are just the end, and it just feels professional, and it's something that businesses don't think of, especially when it's a positive audit.
So this is interesting, and I'm going to send you guys an article. I'll grab it when Sandy's talking about it, but there's a misunderstanding that local business means mom or pop.
Yes.
When we're having conversations here, you could exchange small business with local business, small business that happens to be local. There's medium companies that also happen to be local, but mom and pop are not our markets. We're not going to the pizza parlor around the corner that has very tiny margins. That's not who we're going to, but think about other small businesses in your area, right? There could be a med spa. Med spa has tons of profit in their business. Chiropractors, martial arts studios. There are businesses that are considered small, meaning like under, 20 employees, that have massive money, massive marketing budgets. So we're not, if somebody isn't, so to answer your, I have an anonymous attendee, if somebody isn't marketing, isn't advertising, that's not who you want to go after. And it's a very big misconception when writers get started that they think they're going to save a company, that they're going to help a company. And yes, you are going to help, but you want to go after companies. And this is in our getting clients stuff. We'll talk about this as you move into that space. But you want to go with companies. You want to write for companies who are already investing, who value marketing. Because if they value marketing, they value you, because they can't market without the words, right? The words are everything. The writers do everything. So without you, they fail. So local business does not mean, again, mom and pop. Local just means it happens to be someone in your area that you might feel comfortable working with. There's a great article by Michelle Peterson, and I will grab it and figure out how to get it to you all, but she talks about what kinds of small businesses. But Sandy, small businesses can mean millions of dollars. It's not like a small $50,000 company, right? Small business can be.
Absolutely. And as you said, you know, if they're advertising, then you know they're investing. But, you know, I mentioned that winery, and, you know, they're local and they're small, but they're generating a nice revenue. And so just by being able to say, hey, can you build a loyalty program for people like me who like your limoncello? That's huge for them. So that's just one example, but there are so many small businesses within your local area that have the budgets. And just, but think about it, we're not talking a ton of money to do an audit. We're talking $2,500 to $3,000, which is a great price point to do an audit for a company. Then it's those opportunities to write those projects where you can then add those additional dollars to your bank account for writing the projects. Or as we said, give them a do-it-yourself checklist. It's not a lot of money to pay you, but especially if you are able to generate that extra $100,000, that's huge for them. As Rebecca said earlier, that's money they didn't even think of. They didn't know existed. It's money that's sitting on the table that you're going to help them pick up.
100%. So we're getting a couple questions from some newer writers asking about the ADBI method first. What is your feeling on finishing that first? Like, how much experience do I have coming into this program to be able to get through the program and be effective with it?
I think that you can do this retention auditing, and you can also, if you want to finish the ADBI method, that's fine. But I think you can do this because, again, we're talking about the auditing side. And then as we get into the program, I'll go through the different projects that you can write. So it's really like a bonus. So if you want to finish the AWI method, go ahead. But if you want to take this opportunity and add to it, you can do both of them. So I don't know if there's a right or wrong to start one, finish it. Don't do anything until you're done that one. Because, you know, it's like multitasking. You can learn different things. You don't have to just do this and I can't absorb anything else. I'm going to learn this at the same time. I find anyway, for me, that it's not like I have to block out everything else. I can't, especially if there's a good opportunity, I want to take the opportunity too.
I love that. Yes. This is just a comment from Susan. For those of you asking about profit, we did discuss it, but if you still have additional questions, I want to make sure that your specific question gets answered. Like, how do you measure? We talked a little bit about that. I'm clearing those questions. Trish, if you can clear those. But if we have more, definitely post them. But Susan says, what an incredible insight you have opened my mind to, Sandy. So thank you. I too am always looking for a way to comfortably talk to clients. And it's funny how there's always a conversation within the conversation. As a nurse, I'm always looking for ways to help others first that is comfortable for me. So many thanks.
Oh, I love perfect. That. And that's a great way to think about it.
I love that. Okay. How might retention fit into sales enablement? So if somebody is doing sales enablement, so for those of you who are not familiar, sales enablement is working to write copy that the sales team uses. So it's also not salesy. You're writing things like battle cards and case studies and things that they can use to move the sale along. Are sales directors also tied to retention? How might this fit hand in hand?
Absolutely. As I was going deep into this, what I was finding, a lot of stuff was not just B2C, but B2B needs customer retention. That came up. I saw that so many times where they were, you know, talking about there's articles on helping business, B2B businesses retain customers. So for me, that was like, whoa, if I'm seeing all this stuff, then that means it's needed and necessary. So it's a perfect, if you're a B2B type of person and that's your niche, this is perfect for it.
Awesome. It's funny. So someone said, Dr. Michael Moore says, audits? Isn't that what the IRS does to all of us? Not those kind of audits.
We're talking the good audit. That's the scary bad one. We're talking about a good audit.
And yes, the slides will be sent out. So you guys will have that. So James is saying, so you roll in with an offer to do the audit, but it's not a freebie or a loss leader. You're coming in cold and asking for this money, right? Like you're saying, I'm going to audit your retention strategy and it's going to cost this much.
Right. But remember, it's not just like, hey, can I audit your thing? It's that, as we said before, like if you say to that client, what do you have in place to keep, what kind of process do you have? Do you retain customers? It's coming at it like that. So then they're going to be like, well, I don't know. I haven't thought about it like that. Or maybe they have a whole program and then you can say, hey, you know what? I can take a look at that and do a little audit for you and find out where you are missing opportunities to retain customers. that's a little great conversation to have with a client, and it puts it in a positive way so that they're more willing to say, hey, that sounds like a great idea. So it's not just coming in cold, hey, I'm an audit. It's starting that, building up that conversation and then leading into it.
And then I want to talk to Irene is saying, is the Customer Retention Specialist Program the updated version of the Site Audit Program? Audits in general are being rolled out through all of our top level programs. What we talked about last year were kind of the stages of a writer. The first stage is trading dollars for projects. You're hiring me to write a blog. I'm going to write you a blog. I'm going to get paid. The second stage is moving that into retainers. I'm going to write 5 blogs for you a month, and you're going to pay me $1,000, and it's just going to happen. The third stage would be something like, I'm going to recommend that we take this blog online to get traffic to it. I want to do social media for you to drive traffic. I want to see what happens after. So I'm going to start increasing my project fees. Eventually, you move into this consultant mindset. What if you use that word? That might be an easier way for you guys to attach to the idea of what an audit is. You're basically going in and saying, here are your deficiencies in this area, or the positive way of saying it, here are your opportunities in this area. So it's not like one size fits all audit. If I'm doing site audit, which is content, I'm auditing their website to see where their content opportunities are that will bring in more of their ideal prospects to their website. If I was specializing in social media, I would want an audit that was very deep in social media. I'd want 21 things that you should be looking for in social media. How are you interfacing with your customers? How are you bringing in new people? Are you responding to everybody who comments? What does that look like? I'm going to look for specific things. The beauty of an audit is really you setting yourself up as a professional and really like setting yourself up to hit it out of the park, because whatever you audit, that's what you're planting your flag saying, this is what I do. So eventually at ADBI, you're going to see audits built into all of our certifications. If you take a social media certification, we're going to teach an audit. We're not just going to teach you how to do social media, but we want to teach you the audit because, as Mike said, it gives you confidence to say, I'm a professional. This is what I do. I start with an audit, and then we'll decide on a per project. You can still start with the projects. You don't have to start audit. Audit is definitely down the line as far as capability. You're going to get there anyways. Or if you want to jump the track and not wait, you could jump into a certification and start as a consultant at that space. Consultants in any industry make the most money. It just is what it is, because it's the institutional knowledge. It's the understanding of it. Automatically dubs you as the person who knows, because you're the one saying, I have the checklist. As one of you pointed out in the chat, it's no different than a doctor, right? All right. Yes. Sandy comes in with knee pain. Well, tell me about your knee pain. Like, how did it happen? Did it start with an injury, or did it just start out of the blue? What's the pain level? But, okay, Sandy, I've gone through my checklist based on what we've talked about. I think surgery is not the best path. I actually think physical therapy plus this pain treatment is going to, right? They give you back, they prescribe back the answer. And that's why they get paid the big bucks, because they have the intel, they have the checklist, they have the implied authority to tell you what to do. The audit gives you, the writer, the implied authority to say, I know what we're going to do to make your social media work better for you. And in this case, I know what we're going to do to improve retention, which is going to go directly to the bottom line and the profit. So whatever area you end up in, whether it's retention and content, whether it's content and social media, whether it's just social media, ultimately, whether you take a certification and we give you the audit, or you just study and become curious, you're going to end up building your own audit, because it just gets easier when you're talking to a client. If I have a checklist to go through, I don't have to recreate the wheel. I can do this in a matter of hours and give you something of high value that's worth thousands to you, client. But really, for me, it didn't take me very long because I've already done all the legwork. I know what to look for. I know to ask you, did you hurt your knee with an accident, or did it just start hurting, right? I have those questions in mind so I can give you something of value right back.
Maybe another way to think about audit is really what we're talking about is the best practices. So that's a way to maybe reposition in your mind. It maybe made it audit feels like, oh my gosh, that's a scary thing, and who wants an audit? But really, we're helping customers or clients do the best practices of customer retention or SEO or website. That's what we're talking about, is what are the best things they can do to enhance their business.
So Deb wants to know, and this one we'll have to ask, I'm curious what Steve Solenwhite would say. In general, B2B marketers are not used to paying royalties or profit share. So Deb, and hi Deb, I haven't talked to you in a while. She said, this is a great addition. Thank you. If you're doing B2B, are royalties still appropriate? It's tough because you are moving the chains, but typically the sales team are the ones who kind of get to wear the gold star of making the money. So I don't know. I think it would have to depend on the company, and I would be curious what Steve would say about that, but can't hurt. I've always learned in life. My mom taught me this at a very young age. The only way it's a no is if you don't ask the question. So it's okay to ask in any state. And you can even say, I've had consultants do this with me. I have two fees. I can do it for this or I can do it for that, but I'm going to take 5%. And then that way the client can decide, do I want cash out with nothing later, or do I want us to both have skin in the game and be tied? Royalties are not just about the writer. It's to incentivize the writer. Just like a sales rep gets paid a commission, royalties are there to give you fire, to like make you want it to work. We're in this together, right? You and me, client, we're both hoping for a big payout on this. Mm-hmm. And so I've got real skin here to make this successful. So royalties are a positive on both sides for that reason. So what's the first step, Ruthie wants to know? She says, I'm very energetic. She's feeling overwhelmed, but she loves AWAI. So what is the first step to move forward with this?
So I think what you need to do is just after this is over, just relax for a minute. We threw a lot at you. If the slides are going to be available to you, then go back through it and then reabsorb the information. And then you'll feel not so like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of stuff. You need to like take a deep breath here, relax, chill out, maybe look at all the slides again tomorrow. And then you'll be able to see there's, even after 24 hours, you'll see that this is still a huge opportunity for you. And then the next step is if you want to really get into this, then join the training program.
100%. And like with anything, guys, absorb, like your value is higher simply for having attended today. Try it out. Like try it with your friends who own businesses. Try it with your neighbors. If you're talking to clients, ask the question. Just see mm-hmm. where it goes. Even if you're not a retention specialist yet, just say like, can we talk for a second about your retention efforts? What do you do to make sure that your clients are happy that they stay? Like what are your refund rates? Look, ask those questions. Just getting comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. One of the best ways to be successful in this industry is not to think, and I got this from Elise Bennett, she never thinks about like the end game out of the gate. She just is curious, asking questions and moving things. Well, she will introduce and connect people without any thought of like, how am I going to benefit from that? She just believes that if you just keep on doing, the benefit starts to build. If you're a curious person and you just ask questions and genuinely care about the answers and want to know more, people want to work with you. There's an implied enthusiasm, excitement, connection that comes through when we just care and talk to each other as humans. This doesn't have to be like a little blue suit with the PowerPoint presentation. That's not your opportunity. Just sit down and say, I wish I'll learn about your business, Sandy. I've been watching you on social media. It looks and feels like this. But is that like, is this working for you? I have some ideas, but I'm just curious. Like, and then ask questions and get curious. You don't even have to sell in that moment. You can always follow up and say, Sandy, it was so great talking to you. You know, in our conversation, we talked about, you kind of felt like these were some opportunities. And I thought about it. And I really feel like I could help with this one of them that you said, here's what I'm thinking. And then it just becomes natural, right? So just take this information, if nothing else, and the next person that you talk to, at your chamber of commerce, at your church, at the PTA meeting, your neighbor, whatever it is, just start to play with this and say, how, you know, what do you do for your retention? Oh, you don't know what retention is? That means, what do you do to keep your customers in? How do you make sure the money isn't flowing back out and that they want to stay on and pay you more money in the future? What are those things that, oh, you don't do any? Oh, that's so interesting. I was just in this training that was, and then just share. And
exactly.
You'll be surprised.
I think you could even ask, you know, like if you said, ask a company, talking to somebody, what's your churn rate? They might be like, what is a churn rate? And you can say, oh my gosh, I just learned what this is, you know? And then again, these are like these little opportunities to engage with potential clients, or just to, as Rebecca is saying, to get comfortable just asking and talking and asking questions like that. And then you'll see they're going to be like, it is this, or they're going to be like, I don't even know what that is. So that then you can say, oh, well, here's what it is. And, you know, did you know that if you can keep more customers without spending money, you can make more money in your business? So, yep.
For my Infinity and Circle of Success members, I am being pinged by the marketing team to say that do not sign up with the link that I shared in the chat. You have a special price that's available on your member page. This is a live certification. So with your memberships, you have discounts to all of our live certifications. So your sign up is on the member page. Otherwise, all the information either way, though, is available in that link. If you have any other questions, well, this enrollment is just opening today, so feel free. It doesn't close until next week, and then the training starts. So any questions you have about retention, about certification, this is going to be an ongoing conversation at ADBI this year. It's where the money is going. It's not being taken from customer acquisition. Sales will always be, because without new customers, eventually a business will die. But to keep the money in-house, remember to add profit and to generate more profit from the people that you're paying to bring in anyways, is a very smart fundamental ruling of business. Like, you have to keep your customers happy. You will die if you're just churning and churning and churning.
Absolutely.
And churning. It won't work forever. So
it won't work. Exactly.
This is the conversation we're going to keep having. Sandy, thank you so much for joining us today. This was fantastic. We are at the cusp of something huge, as you called it, the beast of an opportunity. I'll let you have the last word. Are there any closing words you have?
The more that I've been digging into this, the more for me, it's just like, I thought I knew retention, but I'm like, whoa, there's so much to it. And I'm realizing myself, wow, I didn't know this or this, but you could do this and help retain customers. So for me, it's been an eye-opening experience just to dig this deeper. It's like, I broadened my knowledge. I thought I knew retention really well, but I'm like, wow, that's just the tip of the iceberg of all the ways that a company can retain and keep clients. And the end result for me is that it just creates brand loyalty. I mean, you're keeping customers, which is a huge thing, keeping customers. And they become, when you reach the pinnacle is when you can turn a customer into an ambassador for that company, where they're excited and they're telling everybody, oh my gosh, this, I love purchasing with this company. They're so good. They treat me so well. That to me is the ultimate sign of doing great. That just is like a huge opportunity. As I said, it was just the tip of the iceberg, and the iceberg is big.
But isn't that crazy? I mean, that's who you want to work for, right? Isn't that why we're in business? A business is in business to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't manufacture widgets just because we want to manufacture widgets. We want to manufacture widgets because they solve a problem that people have. Businesses are not in business just to sell stuff. They're in business to sell stuff to solve a problem. So the companies I would want to write for are the ones who do care, not just about the humans, which it matters too, but because they care about the problem being solved. I don't want to sell you something to fix your knee that isn't going to fix your knee. I want you to have no more knee pain. I want you to be dancing around with your kids
Absolutely.
In the front yard because you feel great. Like, that's the solution that I'm in business. Hopefully, if I'm a good business owner, I care about the end game. So I think you've even nailed like the who you want to work for. And then as far as learning more, like I said at the beginning, I've been in this industry I've been with ADBI 19 years this month. I have been through our copywriting training materials dozens of times, and I've yet to take a class again or even teach a class. I teach with Sandy. I learn something every single time. So to your point, like, you've done retention for decades. You're still learning. Like, it's such, isn't it the coolest thing about this industry? No matter how much we learn,
you still learn.
It's forever. It's our forever career.
Exactly. It's almost like this is a goofy way to say it. It's a way to not age because you're constantly learning.
Well, we're getting some shout outs for how great you look. So clearly copywriting is working for you. All right.
Well, their attentions really worked.
Yeah, their attention works.
It worked.
All right, guys. Oh, Jade wants me to say classes start January 30th, Monday, Wednesday, 12 noon Eastern time.
Yeah, that's me being calendar challenged and saying the wrong date.
All the little things. So you have to next week to register. Enrollment's open, so you have the weekend. Like, go through it and just think, like, is this for you? There's no pressure here. It's, if it's for you, it's for you. We're a training company. We offer lots of opportunities. I'm super excited about this one. So is Sandy. If you're excited about it too, come on the journey. Let's do this. But take the weekend, think about it. You can sign up until next week, and then classes start January 30th at noon Eastern time. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sandy. Thank you for this excellent content. And I can't wait to see what happens with the certification.
Me too. And everybody, as you say, just chill out. You got, this was a lot of stuff with your writing. So just chill out and then take a look at the slides and think about it tomorrow. When your brain will be fresh, your eyes will be fresh, you won't have aged, and then you can, then as Rubik said, decide if this is for you. But I feel like this is a big opportunity, especially in today's market with the economic uncertainty. To me, this is like the linchpin of building a great freelance business.
There you have it. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.